This morning, we're going to start a series that I'm calling Presence. And I know a lot of times, at least for the children, but let's be honest, we adults too, come to this time of year and we think about presents like gifts. Bwah. And I know I have many, many things on my list, and I've been a good boy at least the last day, and I'm hoping that Santa delivers everything that I'm asking for. But this series is kind of a play on words because I'm so terribly clever and everyone groans. It's presence, like the presence of God, which I believe and I want to present to you truly is the best thing that we could receive. And that throughout the Advent season as we approach Christmas, I'd love for you to be on the lookout because this is a special time when we celebrate that a special thing happened. And I'd love for you to be on the lookout for how God will be present with you in a special way at this time. Maybe unexpected ways. And so as we go through our series, Presence, I want to say, yeah, gifts are great. They really are. Go ahead and give gifts and receive gifts. But think about the gift that you've received in Christ. And think about how he might really be present with you. So I want to tell you about an email I received this week from the bishop saying, Devin Cook, that's me. We'd like to promote you. No, I'm just joking. Some of you were sweating as soon as I said, no. I want to tell you about an email I got, and it's from a clergy friend of mine. And it was one of those where I don't want to give you all the details, but it said, well, this happened, and it caused this. And it was kind of, wow, wow, you know, oh, that's bad. And this is going on, and also, I just wanted you to know this. And I looked at that email, I'm like, yeah. Guy's having a tough time right into the Advent season. And he said at the bottom, please pray for me. But before that line, please pray for me, he said, God must be up to something. I'm like, geez, that's powerful. If I had the list of things in the email that he had, I would be saying anything except God is up to something. I would be calling down curses. I would be swearing. I would be grumbling, mumbling, and complaining, and I would probably say, please pray for me, but I love that God must be up to something. Because we believe when things go wrong, that God is absent from us. The testimony in Scripture is that it's just the opposite, that when things seem to be going wrong, God is indeed at work, maybe through those circumstances and maybe not, but God is present with us. And in spite of those circumstances, still at work, doing good things, if we will trust him. So I think about a situation like that, and maybe you can think of a situation that you're in, or maybe you can think of something that's gone wrong recently, or just something you're dealing with at this time, and we tend to put the label on that blue Christmas, right? I mean, that's the phrase that's out there since there's a song and everything else. Is, well, you know, this makes a blue Christmas. Well, this happened, and it's kind of a blue Christmas. And, well, this is really bad, and it's going to be a blue Christmas. And I want to give you something else to think about. Do we have an image we can put up there? Is there an image for us? Yeah. Thank you. Rotten bananas. Okay? That's the phrase I'm going to use this morning. Instead of a blue Christmas, how about just rotten bananas? When life is just going like, here's all the stuff you didn't want, and here's what you didn't expect, and here's what hurts, it's rotten bananas. And somebody would say, why rotten bananas? Quick aside, and we'll get right back. I think the grossest thing in the world, it's up there anyway, top five, is a really overripe banana. It's one of the only foods in the world that can taste too much like itself. Bananas can get too banana-y, and I'm out. And the smell, you get a rotten banana, and if I place it in the parking lot, you're going to be smelling it in here. And then they just turn to mush, and they turn into leopards before they turn entirely brown. And sometimes life gives you rotten bananas. And it's a mess, and it's everything you don't want. Sometimes we find ourselves, just like my friend, in a rotten banana time, and we think, how much worse is it when it's all rotten bananas here as we approach the holidays? Well, I want to share a story with you that you're probably familiar with, one of those good Christmas passages. And it comes from Matthew 1, the very first chapter in Matthew's Gospel. So as Matthew begins telling what he experienced with Jesus, he starts off with this story, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. He says right up front, like, this is how this incredible, wonderful, miraculous thing happened. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph because, again, they didn't have a long dating relationship and slowly fell in love. And then Joseph, he dropped to one knee. It was arranged, folks. Okay? It was set up. You're going to get married. And so Joseph is proud because Mary's going to be his wife, and Mary is proud because she's going to have a husband, and they're going to live their lives happily ever after is how it's going to go. Except we get partway through verse 18. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, if you know what I'm saying, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph didn't have that little bit of insight through the Holy Spirit. That's recorded for our benefit. Praise God. But as they are pledged to be married to each other, as this virgin is chosen to be with this man and they are to begin building their lives together, Joseph hits one small caveat, and that Mary's already pregnant. You can imagine he wished she came with a gift receipt. This Mary is defective. It has a child inside, and it's not my child. But because Joseph, her husband-to-be, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, there's a real contrast there. The law says, if she's got a baby and it's not my baby, well, I have the right to return her. That's the law. And I mean, hey, let's be real. Before we start judging Joseph, well, that man, think about it. This is your wife. This is your future. This is your family to be, and she's starting another family that's not yours, okay? Let's not be too harsh with Joseph. But because he was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, in other words, he still cared enough about her that he didn't want to have her punished or humiliated or harmed in some way, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. So in other words, Mary, this isn't going to work. I know why you have a large bump on your stomach, and it's not because Thanksgiving was good to you. Let's just take care of this between you and me, and we'll go our separate ways. But that's good, right? Good for Joseph. Didn't want to make a big deal over it. Hey, look at Mary! There's a problem because it's not mine! He didn't want to do that. So after he considered this, in verse 20, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I love that Joseph gets that message from an angel. One, because if it were one of Mary's good friends, he'd have been like, yeah, right, thanks for sticking up for your girl, I'm not buying it. If he had gotten that message from maybe one of his relatives, he'd have been like, yeah, okay, that sounds nice and all, but come on, really? But Joseph gets his message from an angel, from a messenger from God, seems a little bit more credible, and he gets the message in the midst of this. Joseph, I know that you are right now holding a rotten banana, and it smells terrible, and it looks awful, and you don't want anything to do with it. But this is going to be God's son. You will name him Emmanuel, Jesus. God with us. I love that the angel says, Joseph, in the midst of this mess, God is with you in a special way. Joseph, I know this all looks wrong. Everything was set up beautifully, and you just kind of heard the trombone slide. I know, Joseph, that you're afraid. I know that you're confused. I know you're probably angry. But listen, God is with you. And of course, we know how this story ends, or if you don't, I'm going to give you a spoiler. Spoiler alert. Indeed, Mary gives birth to the Son of God. Joseph gets to be the father. Incredible things happen in their lives, and they have the Messiah come out of this. God was with them in what would have been, if you were Joseph, the worst possible situation. Can you really think of a worse situation for Joseph? I mean, sure, there was the whole idea that they were going to have to travel for the census, and that was bad. Sure, he was going to have, you know, another mouth to feed. Sure, he was going to be leaving his parents and merging with his wife and starting off new, and there's always complications that come with that. Maybe he had dodged some taxes. I can't think, though, of anything worse than finding out the woman you're pledged to is carrying someone else's child. Joseph's thinking this is the worst possible situation, and the angel says, yes, but not in the way that you think. It's actually a great thing, and God is with you. Joseph had nothing but rotten bananas, but he still planned to handle the situation with integrity, and regardless of how he handled it, God said, I am still with you. Here's what I want to ask you. Where in your life, where during this holiday season, where in the experiences that you've had, or where just as things have progressed, do you say, that's nothing but rotten bananas? Maybe some of you are sitting here today thinking, I can't believe this is happening at this time. It's going to be a blue Christmas. Maybe some of you are feeling deep inside, I haven't shared this, but it's hanging heavy over me. I don't want to hear about the holidays, and I don't want to celebrate. It feels like God just up and left the room, and there's nothing but rotten bananas for me. I want to tell you, this is just from my own life, I want to tell you about a rotten banana experience that I had this year. And I wrote it down because I'm not terribly clever, but I thought if I can remember this, certainly I can talk about it. I was just, and this is small potatoes and rotten bananas, and I'm making a weird salad here, aren't I? I was going to spend a weekend the entire opposite way of how I wanted to spend a weekend. As I looked at it, I was like, this detail is off. This is not exactly what I want to do. This is going to be difficult. And just in case that's not enough, I think this is going to end up being a mess. I don't know what I'm doing here. And just blah, blah, blah. Without the details, let me say, I looked at the entire weekend and I'm like, rotten bananas. And so my mood, as my wife could attest to, became like I'm eating a rotten banana. Oh, this is awful. Oh, it tastes so bad, and I don't like it at all, and I can't believe I'm going to eat this rotten banana. That was my mood, and that was my attitude. And I'm driving to where I need to be, and I'm in the car, and I'm just like, you know what, God, this is inconvenient at the least. Oh, that's not good enough. Here's what I don't like about it, God. And I gave him my list. And I'm, you know, why? And I don't understand. And couldn't it just be this way? And couldn't you arrange this detail? And I began to lay it out. And some people ask me, listen, I can't explain this. I'm not smart enough to. Some people ask me, how do you hear God when you pray? I don't know. But here's what went through my head. As I'm listing my complaints before God, because God's big enough to handle them, and I think God loves me enough to take him and be like, Devin, you idiot. As I'm listing this out to God, I start thinking about a bad habit that I have. And it's talking far too much. And everyone in the congregation says, amen! Shut up, man! And as I was thinking about that, for whatever reason I was thinking about that, but still praying to God about this situation, in my mind, so in some way, I just get the idea of, if you would listen more. I'm like, that's bizarre. I do need to listen more. But God, this is going wrong, and this is going wrong, and our banana is awful, God. And he's like, if you would listen more. I'm like, fine, I'll listen more. And I went down, and I was hanging out with one person, and I had the deepest conversation with them that I have ever had. And as I wanted to jump in and say this or ask this or do this, I thought, I'm just going to listen. It was incredible what they shared with me. Feelings they had never revealed to me at a level they had never talked with me. They opened up and shared, and I'm like, I shut up for the first time. Awesome. And then I went and met with another person. I got to hear all of their hopes and their dreams. Individual going into seminary and talking about the difficulties with the United Methodist Church right now, and is that really what they want to do? And as they wrestled that out, I was like, yeah, but you could, and I experienced, and I'm like, just shut up, Devin. And I listened. And I heard them telling about their fears and yet their excitement and how they've seen God in their lives. Awesome. And then maybe the best, I met with a friend that I hadn't seen in a long time, but it was great to catch up. We're having a wonderful dinner, and I did that pastor thing that I do, and I'm like, hey, where do you worship now? I don't, and here's why. And I wanted to refute that, and I wanted to tell them about the beauty of the church, and I wanted to tell them about our church, and I wanted to sell them on church, and tell them they're a heathen, and they're going to hell unless they step in church, and all that good stuff. It would be uplifting. And God's like, if you would just listen more. Again, not an audible voice and not even something that kind of, you know, spoke in my mind, but it just came to me like, shut up. So I did. And on and on and on, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die here. This is how people feel when they talk with me. And on and on and on. And finally got done with this rant about why they no longer attend church and looked at me and said, thank you for listening to that. There were three people that I genuinely connected with and heard where they were and was blessed with the opportunity to enter into deep parts of their life when all I could see was rotten bananas. In the midst of something that I was just about, God said, I'm going to be present and I'm going to work through this. Shut up. And I don't think God said shut up. But the idea was, in the midst of rotten bananas, God's presence was there with each of those interactions and blessed me in a way I would never have expected to be blessed. And I hope blessed those people also. That's just my example of what I would call rotten bananas. You have those examples too. You have things that are really hurting right now. You have relationships that you think are just rotten bananas and the peel's half torn. You have expectations of the holiday season and all of a sudden it's been swiped and thrown in the trash can and you're thinking rotten bananas. But if God can work in Joseph's life in what seems like the worst possible circumstances, if God can shut me up and show me his presence when I'm feeling rotten bananas, why can't he do the same for any of us? So where in life do you see only rotten bananas right now? What's causing you to have a blue Christmas this season? How might God, as my friend said in his email, be at work through that? Psalm 42 says, why, my soul, why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. Now listen, if I were a really clever person, which we've established I'm not, I would have had banana bread ready for you as you left today, because when life gives you bananas and they are no good, what do you do with them? You make banana bread and everybody loves it. When life gives you rotten banana situations, God is present to help you make banana bread. And I just wish I had thought far enough ahead to have that visual. But this morning is a perfect morning because we're going to celebrate communion, and it's such a great image for what I'm trying to convey to you. In the midst of what seems like woe and misery, God is present with us. When we take communion, we remember God's presence is real in a way that we don't always understand and can't explain as we celebrate taking the body and the blood. Jesus is present right there with us in that moment. In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open communion. And that means that anyone that's willing to admit that their ways aren't as good as God's ways, but wants to follow in God's ways, anyone whose heart is in that condition is welcome to come forward and take communion with us. On the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples, he took the bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." In the same way, when the dinner was over, he lifted up the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many. Do these things in remembrance of me." And so, holy God, as we remember your mighty acts and deeds through Jesus Christ our Lord, we thank you for the elements here this morning. We pray that you pour out your Spirit on them, that they might be the body and blood of Christ, and in this world we might be the body of Christ transformed by his blood. God, make us one with you, one with the world through service, and one with each other by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If those who are going to help serve would come forward.